Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day. All right, guys, welcome back to Best Hour of Their Day. We are here at CrossFit Heath. Real quick, you guys know that we do this podcast and we produce all of this content to build bigger, better, and more impactful affiliates. Go check out Affiliate U, schedule a call, and then you can be awesome like this guy, Brandon, here. But check it out, guys. If you have questions, just reach out. We're happy to help you. But
Brandon Watson, CrossFit Heath, here we are seeing you again.
Yes.
We're here in the cold state of Texas.
Yeah, Texas right. is surprisingly.
I don't know what's happening here. The weatherman is full of shit.
Our weather is bipolar. Yeah. It doesn't know what it wants to do.
Here we are, not quite in Dallas, but suburb of Dallas.
We correct. Yeah. We're just east of Dallas, about probably 20 miles east.
Yeah, and we're staying like an hour away. Fern
you're in Fort Worth.
Really wanted to come here.
Yeah, he did, and I appreciate
Fern,
that.
Doesn't like to see many people, but he was very excited to see you.
Very true, actually.
And there's a few reasons. Well, you've been an amazing client of ours and on to year two, and you've got a couple other stories along the way that I think are important for affiliate owners to hear. So let's dig in. First of all, I love this. I think more affiliates need crews. Crews make you look jacked.
We just did a bunch of crew sweatshirts.
Yeah, crew's the way to go.
Crews make you look jacked.
There are a bunch of like...
We just made an order of
all right.
I also like this kind of... This is like a classic.
It's retro.
It's retro.
Yeah, so. I like it. So established 2009, but here's the thing. That wasn't you.
That's correct.
Tell us about it.
So where it started, a previous owner started it back in 2009. He was actually a Masters Games athlete.
Who's this? What's his name?
Cliff Lewis. So,
I remember because he's bald, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
he is a bald headed dude.
I remember that.
It's random.
You can't even remember where we're supposed to be on any given day. And you remember Cliff Lewis from 2011, the Masters division?
Right.
I just remember that person. I don't bet, you know, back in the day, those Masters divisions were small.
Ortiz.
Yeah,
that was that group.
That was, who's the guy that popped? Sean.
Yes.
Good dude.
Yeah,
I like Sean a lot.
But in that same group, So, he was the beginning of all this and started it in a little, basically kind of started in his garage. Neighbors saw him doing this CrossFit thing, and then he moved into an actual little strip shopping center, a little small facility. This is actually the third facility that CrossFit Heath has been in.
Well, and we should talk about it because you walk in and I immediately asked you, like, what was this?
Yeah.
You would not think this was built to be a CrossFit. It's like bay doors. Like, I thought maybe a fire department.
Like, well, hold on. It looks like it was built for a CrossFit gym, but that is very rare that somebody built it with the intention of putting a CrossFit gym.
Well, this, and it's in a strip mall. Like, it's attached. Yeah, there's a restaurant over there, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
It's a unique spot.
It is.
This is the third place it was, but
that's correct.
Cliff started in his garage, started moving. When did you find CrossFit, and how did you become?
Yeah, so I found CrossFit in 2012. Actually, joined here in 2012. 6-8 months later,
why'd you start?
Why? Because I about died doing a physical agility test for the Rockwall Volunteer Fire Department.
So you were already a...
So at that time, I'd already been a firefighter for over 10 years.
Volunteer only?
No, as a paid firefighter.
Okay.
And so in a suburb called McKinney here, just north of Dallas. And so I was like, hey, I'll volunteer here, do a little extra. And you had to take a physical assessment. And I'd always prided myself on being in shape. I was a typical 24-hour guy, you know, was doing some cardio, less cardio, a little bit more of lifting.
Stairmaster.
Exactly. Doing
fire,
it, you know.
That bench press was strong.
Oh, buddy, was it ever. Yeah.
Not so good at putting on fire.
Exactly. And so I went and I took this test, and literally that Fran cough, that feeling after, I mean, I was dying. And I literally had to sit on the truck and just wait for 30 minutes before I could even move.
Do you remember what it was?
It was just a hose drag evolution.
So you were doing the...
Yeah, it was the whole evolution.
For the fire department.
Okay. So,
which is how long in total?
It was probably literally 2 minutes.
I was going to say less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, like I said, it's almost like a Fran
right.
with the way you felt. So I didn't know. I didn't even know CrossFit was a thing. I'd never even heard of it. So called a good friend of mine back at the fire station, and I'm like, dude, you got to get me back in shape. I don't know what has happened, but I'm out of shape.
But meanwhile, if you would have looked in the mirror, you're like, I'm in shape.
I thought I was in shape. Yeah, I thought I was good. And so he was like, hey, man, go check this thing called CrossFit.com out. I was like, okay, what's that? So I get on. I'm looking at CrossFit, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. So I start doing some of the workouts at 24 Hour Fitness, which the cool thing then was they had two rowers always available. Nobody was on a rower.
And if they're not, you can just watch that show happen on the rower. You're like, what is happening over there?
Well, nor did I know what was going on either. So, I'm doing what I could at a 24, and then I actually ran into a girl that I graduated high school with that was a coach here at that time. And I ran into her one day, and she was like, hey, come to CrossFit. I was like, I actually been trying to do this CrossFit thing. So I showed up, and I loved it, been here ever since. And then started coaching probably 6-8 months later. I took my level one, and
that's awesome.
Like, you know, the old school is like, all right, level one.
Let's do it.
You're the coach.
Come on. are you available at 6 a.m.?
That's right, exactly. Tag, you're it.
How quickly did you notice the difference in the test? Did you have to – that's the CPAT?
No,
this
was – their kind of own made-up thing. I passed it, so I was good. I never had to take it again.
Pre-CrossFit, you had passed it anyway.
That's correct,
you just felt it.
But I knew that I was way out of shape.
And then did you see a difference?
Massive.
Yeah.
So I started noticing when we were training in McKinney at the fire department. We have to do training often on the paid department. So I started noticing in our training, like, my fitness level was increasing significantly.
And were other people recognizing that and joining you?
Yeah. And so then I got my crew. At that time, I was a captain. So I ran a crew, and my crew's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this thing called CrossFit. It's CrossFit.com. Check it out.
Come on, let's go down to the bay real quick.
Yeah, so we started making some stuff up, and they're like, I do remember one incident. We just got through with a hard workout. So this was a lesson learned.
And did you get a fire?
Yes. And we catch a three-story apartment fire. Fire blowing out of the third floor.
We're tired.
Yes. So one of my guys, he's following me up the stairs. He's cussing me the whole way up. He was like, we're never doing that again. I was like, I agree. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So what was the rule? Like,
yeah.
Certain times you would only.
Well, we would do it. It's just.
You just can't go ham.
Pull the intensity back. Like, there's no reason to just crush your soul, because at any moment you just didn't know when it was coming. So
did you do a lot of workouts and gear at the time?
Not really. Oh. It's hot.
I think that's smart. It's like
Texas.
Your fitness higher. You throw gear on. It's still higher.
That's right. And we were required to do what they call an SCBA consumption test. So basically, you put your breathing apparatus on and you try to see how long you can
make
you
it
can
last. Yeah.
Make it last and work off of that, because when you're in a fire, you need to be able to extend. And that's obviously going to shorten, because your heart rate's going to elevate, your breathing's elevated. And those are considered 45-minute bottles.
Thanks,
but
if you can get
20 minutes, you're doing good.
We had a guy do Fred. It's on video. And
Doing it in gear?
In gear,
yeah,
air.
I've seen that. Yeah.
He went through a tank in like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was like fogged up, and he had to pop it off. Like, he didn't finish Fran with it on, but he finished it in his gear.
Yeah. So
what was the transition? Hey, I'm coaching here. Now I own this place.
Yeah, so I coached here for several years, then retired from the fire department. And then the opportunity came that Cliff was going to sell this place. And I was like, hey, I would love to own this place. I would love to see. And by this time, I was listening to
you guys. I was trying
to
remember the timeline for that. I couldn't remember if it was like right after you had purchased or no, before. You were going through it.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you started with us?
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. So I was in the process of buying and had been for a few months.
I remember it took a little bit.
That's probably about 3-4 years ago then?
Yes. So 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.5.
Because you were a really early client of ours.
Yeah, yes. One of the first. Yeah.
So we were in the process of buying it. And actually that winter before, kind of this time of year, I have no idea how I came across y'all's podcast. I have no idea.
It's very popular.
It is.
Joe Rogan,
exactly.
Best hour
right
there.
Below it, yeah. Jocko, yeah. So I started listening to you guys, and I was like, man, these dudes, they,
first thought? Tell us the truth. Like, you started listening?
No, I honestly, I was like, these guys know their stuff.
Mostly
honestly.
Mostly me.
But no, honestly, I was like, Fern's good. He'll be my guy.
That's a military thing. That's because he's
like,
a military.
I just knew. I'm like, dude, he and I will connect. Like, I'm just, you know. So, but listening to you guys.
That happens
like,
a lot, by the way.
Right. It's the norm.
More than it, like,
they don't tell you that. They don't tell you in the sales.
The other day, I was like, who are my clients and who are Jay's?
Right.
And I was like, I hope no one notices that big difference in numbers.
Oh, but they'll get called out for it. Yeah, exactly. So I just started listening to you guys, and I realized something. I'd started to learn that just like in the fire service, we were always training. You're always going to things to better your knowledge, to better what you did. And I realized that in CrossFit, I hadn't been doing that. I had my level two at that time, but I wasn't really advancing, right?
But that was pretty quick for your level.
Yeah, I think I had been a level one for 2 or 3 years, and then I got my level two. I got my level two in 15. And then
well, you're talking 7 years from when you started to when you, oh no.
I mean,
almost 10, yeah. Before when you started and when you bought it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was 9 years between starting and owning. Yeah.
But you had advanced.
I had.
You weren't continuing doing the level one.
No, I had already been to my level two and actually done the level two twice by the time I actually purchased this. And really a lot of that was just listening to you guys and the leveling up and constantly, and I thought, I probably should be doing that. I do that in the fire service, trying to be the best at, well, I should do that in the same business and seeing that difference. And it goes back to kind of you don't know what you don't know. When I look back the way we used to do things, I'm like, oh, we missed a lot, right? And we didn't do a lot of things well, right? Which I think is been the evolution of CrossFit. You look back at a lot of things.
I think it's normal.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any other route.
For sure. Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look back at the fire service. You think back, you know, year one to year 20. Hopefully year two,
I hope you're drastically better.
But believe it or not, like all things, there are guys that I'm like, dude, you've had 1 year 20 times, man. Come on.
That's a good way.
You're still on year one. You've just done it 20 times. And
Was there something that you were experiencing that kind of like made you have that realization? Or was it just kind of like the whole idea of like, oh, I'm going to be a business owner, man. Like, I should probably get some help.
Yeah, that for sure.
And this was your first endeavor in entrepreneur, like fire department was all you were doing?
Correct. We're
talking to the Christmas light guy here, bro. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about. I remember.
That's right now.
I forgot about that.
Oh, shit, that's right. I thought that was your target.
I remember on one of the calls you were talking about that, and I was like.
Still doing that.
I remember because Roz was like, I wanted get someone to do the Christmas lights. And I was like, oh, that's so crazy.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's one of those things that it's one of the few things I've stuck with.
You put lights up on people's homes.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do people's Christmas lights. Yeah. So
that's, you're going to blow up right now.
Right. Yeah.
But you do a lot of, you do like hundreds.
How many
of
homes would you do this year?
This year I've got 120 scheduled.
You don't, that's like you solo, you have a company.
No, it's me.
You do 120.
It's me.
How long does one home take you?
It just depends. So not yesterday because it rained all day, but the day before I did 7. And I was still back here about 3:30.
You did 7 homes in like 7 hours?
Fitness, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting up and down that ladder, dude.
Is it the fake lights where you're blasting them on the house?
No.
You got a projector, dude. We're done.
That's it.
$400.
Yes. I'm crawling across roofs, up,
I think
up ladders.
Most people don't understand is like, someone's got to take them down too.
That's right.
So you go,
that's what a stick and a hook's for. Though.
Is that taking them down easier?
Oh yeah, you just yank them off the house.
So you'll do 120 this season?
Yeah, I got about 70 more to go. I've already done 50 in like 2 weeks.
You got to what, December 24th?
Nah, I try to be done by November.
Yeah, that's
great. They start pressing on me a little bit.
Yeah, so, they're like, yo.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about this.
So I've done some things. I've never really stuck with anything other than Christmas lights. I've been doing them now for 23 years.
That's a typical like fired guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like I need just a side hustle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'd always thought, hey, I'd love to own a CrossFit. But one of our guys at the fire department actually owned a CrossFit in Forney, which is just south of us here. And one of the things I noticed, I'm like, trying to be a firefighter and own a gym is really, really difficult. Because it seemed like anytime he had a problem, it was going to be
when he was on shift.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't do anything about it. Hey, a coach didn't show up. It's like, you know. I'm like, man. And so he ended up having to shut it down because, it, I mean, it just was, it's just hard to run.
We've seen that go well, Dario, North Naples CrossFit, when I lived in Florida.
Matt and Sheree Chan.
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to have that trusted person that's going to, that you know you can count on when you're away. And so at that time, we didn't have that here to count on. Everybody had jobs, and it was, you know, again, it was a part-time deal, so you didn't have that availability. So once I was retired, I'm like, hey, I know I can dedicate to this. I know I can put the time and effort into it. So Paul's a business partner of mine, talked about it, and we were like, hey, let's do this. And
how do you two know each other?
Through CrossFit, yeah. So one of my best friends, and met him here. So
that's cool.
Which is, you know, I think the case for a lot of people. You know, I spend all day with these two. They've been missing me because I've been hanging Christmas lights. They don't want to admit it.
You could help.
Be a lot faster. We'd be done with these extra 70 houses. So,
but yeah, exactly. Somebody's got to work. So, and that's a blessing to have as an owner of CrossFit. People you can count on. It.
Right.
Now I know I'm in a place where I can go be doing something else, and I know that the gym is taken care of. I don't worry about anything. I really don't. And that takes some time. That takes some trust and building. You know, so that's gotten us.
When you purchased the gym, I always find this question really interesting. What was the first thing that you realized, like, oh, I think for somebody that wants to learn, there's like this weird moment where you realize the things that you don't know.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember any of those things?
Oh yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, and that was listening to you guys. I mean, I'm hearing these things. I'm like, holy, we don't do any of that, and that all makes
we don't
perfect
start class
on
time.
Yeah, we literally didn't. We had a 5-minute grace period. So and so
for
it's
the
like
coach
okay,
too.
No, for
is
for
that
the
why
class.
The signs on the door? Exactly. Class start times now.
Exactly.
It ranges exactly. 6 to 6:30 ish,
which it turned into, and so yeah, the 8:30 class was the big fight because we had this 5-minute grace period, which meant 10,
which is actually
12.
15,
yeah, exactly.
Which was a business. That was the class we walked in on.
Right.
Huge.
Yeah, and so we had these same people. They're come walking in on their phone at 7 o'clock or 7 minutes after every day, you know, and it's like, well, I'm kind of on time. I'm like, you were doing nothing. Why are you late every day?
Yeah.
You know,
but if you don't start on time, I'm not going to show up on time.
And so Paul and I made the decision like, hey, we're, and I, from hearing you guys, I'm like, no, we're starting on time at 8:30. We are starting.
How did that go on day one?
They didn't like it, but you know,
did you give them,
oh, I just told the coaches, hey, we start on time.
But did you tell the members?
We did, just in the brief, like, hey, guys, we're going to start on time. The grace period's gone. We're starting class on time. And so we started, and we just stuck with it. And there's still some that creep in. And, you know, it's like all things. We get it. If you're hustling in here from work, man, and I got one in the evening. He's always 6, 7, 8 minutes late. But he comes in, jumps in, he gets to work. Cool. I got no, you know.
Yeah, that's not the person that you give a hard time.
That's
you're
exactly.
Like, that guy shows up every day.
Sweating with a suitcase.
You know exactly where he's coming from.
Exactly.
You're like, how about you leave that cat alone?
Exactly. You know? But the thing is, the funny part is you really don't have to say anything because the members will bust on him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're right on time. Yeah. Late again.
Here
nice
for the 5:07 today, huh? Good job, Bob.
Yeah. So I've learned that the members, they'll get on. I'm like, we don't even have to say anything.
Looking around the gym, you've been from the first thing you walk in, ambassadors, we can see into your office, you've got your PVBs laid out, your Bring a Friend Week, your...
That's Jen's work. That's all Jen's work, yeah.
Your committed club. You got it all going on in there. So you slowly started rolling all these new things out?
Yeah, you like I said, when I joined up with Affiliate U, and it's like all things. If you're going to spend your money, and that's the beauty, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And then it also forces you to, hey, like, I can either burn this money up or I can actually do what they're asking me to do and implement it. Just like people that come here, it's like, hey, you can just spend your money here and not get anything out of it, or you can pour into it. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, if I'm going to do that, let's implement. Let's put these things in place. And it's a process, you know, it's like all things. We want to dump everything. It's like, hey, I think you said it well the other day. It's like, find those two things and just go after them, because we're always chasing that next little shiny object. And if we can dial it down and focus, which is what I like, we've gone to this, and it's like, hey, let's put the priorities, let's put the list, and let's just start working on the list.
I was walking those guys through, like, building systems, and then, like, you know, the kind of what we're talking about, how do you create your priorities? And because, like, you know, every CrossFit gym has a million partners. Yeah. There's like, yeah, I want to do every single thing. I want to, you know, solve, you know, world hunger and, and simultaneously add 10 classes. Exactly. And it's like, dude, just do two. And that's kind of what I've shifted to over is like, I just do rolling monthly projects.
Yes.
No more than three. I'll typically get on average probably 2.5 of them done. And then I roll that other one over to another month, which is exactly how we design the sprints and everything. Just a little bit longer because I don't need 45 days for most of those, but it just keeps, it keeps you focused. And then it also keeps you accountable because I tell the team what the projects are. So if I'm not, if they're not done, they're like, yo, what are you doing? Like, I thought, how long are we going to do this project?
Exactly.
Like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so, what was one of the things you implemented that had the most return?
Retention, following up with people. That was the big question when we were buying it. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get members in here and advertising and marketing, blah, 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 blah. And I told him, I was like, hey, the problem is we've got a lot of holes in the bottom of the bucket. We've got to plug those. We're getting people in the door. We're not keeping people. And I had, well, she's actually a Christmas light customer of mine, but I ran into her one day and I was like, hey, I hadn't seen you in a while. And this was before I owned it. And she was like, oh yeah, I've been gone for like 6 months. You're the first person that said anything. I was like, oh. And I was like, oh, note to self, that's not good, right? And I thought, well, that is a shame. Like, yeah, you left and we call ourselves a community and nobody reached out to you. Nobody checked on you. You just bounced in silence. And I thought, we don't need to be doing that. And then I had another, as we were in the process, I had a girl, I was facing coach class. She pops in over there and I'm like, hey, what can I do for you? She was like, I just want to sign up. I'm like, well, cool. She was like, I've emailed y'all, called y'all. I can't get anybody to call me back. I was like,
I'm trying to give you money.
Yeah, and I was like, that's a problem. And that was another one. I'm like, I'm not going to allow that to happen.
This was when you were just coaching.
I was just coaching. I'm like, and we were in the process, you know. And so I'm like, man, these are things that can't happen. And so the first,
but they are things that do happen all the time. Yeah. Going back to what we preach, which is like, you got to do the basics.
It is.
If you can't do those two things, like, nothing else really matters, right? You're talking about like, keep track of your clients.
It's simple.
Yeah. Call people back.
No amount of ads are going to solve that
problem. No amount of ads are going to solve that problem.
It really is.
But that stuff is not, it's simple, not to be confused with easy, which I think is the important part.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to put systems in place to make sure that happens.
And sometimes it's hard work, and it's like, okay. Yeah. Like, sales is hard. Retention is hard. It doesn't have to be really hard, but make no mistake, like, it's work.
It is, but you got to do it. And so I would say that was the biggest bang for the buck right away. And I showed the team the other day, I just reached out to a member. He happened to be traveling, took his whole team to Jamaica, I think, or something. I'm like, man, I need to get my boss to do that. call him.
You're the boss. Yeah. Yeah.
I need to call him.
Take that whole Christmas light team.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Both of us. And how appreciative he was that we just reached out and checked in on him.
Yeah.
You know, and we see that time and time again. They're like, hey, no, everything's great. And they just appreciate that you remembered that they aren't there. And that goes a long ways with our members. And so, you know, I do it every Monday. I pull that report. I see who hadn't been here. And then on the phone, start checking in with them, seeing what we can do.
And you're the one doing that.
I do that.
That's one of the first things that when
Jen
people
started this past week since we've done Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You're into it.
But that's one of the first things we look at when people are like, oh, my membership's down. I'm like, I can guarantee you might have a lead flow you probably don't. Mm-hmm. You're just losing more than you should be.
Right.
That is a solvable problem that you have complete control over, and you're not running the play.
That's correct.
Run the play. Yep. Just run the play. Don't change it. Don't try to like make it fancy. Don't turn it into a flea flicker. Don't do any of that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Just run the play, dude.
That's
just
Tecmo ball.
That's it, right?
Just give it to Bo Jackson and run it up the middle, man. Yeah. If he breaks his femur, reset and start the season over. You know.
Well, and the thing is we know the longer that they're out of the gym, the easier it is for them to stay away.
Right.
And so if we can reach back and be like, hey, get back in here. I got some. They still ghost me. And that's okay. I'm like, well, you've ghosted me for 6 months, but
you're keeping at it.
We're trying. We're still trying, and they'll come back, you know, or they'll
come back if you do what you're doing.
Right.
Meaning like they will at least consider coming back if they're like they're like, I'm going to quit. Right. Which is a legitimate kind of decision to make at that point. But at some point they'll reconsider and be like, well, they did call me for 6 months.
Right.
When I wasn't showing up. So I trust that they will do their best to keep me accountable and they will show back up. But if you don't make those phone calls, that client's probably lost forever.
That's
correct. They're probably not coming back because I did not fulfill my end of the bargain when I was just like, hey, we're going to help you with accountability.
Right.
And then you meet that person. Yeah, you're like, they're like, I was a member at your gym for like 6 years. Yeah. They're like, really?
Really?
Yeah. Like, oh.
Where you been?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
How did it go? And I'm like, I didn't go. And I'm like, oh, okay, got it. So
things have been going smoothly.
Yes.
And then recently.
There's always bumps in the road.
You reached out to Fern about purchasing.
We never had this conversation.
We did. Well, we didn't have we had it.
The follow-up conversation, that is?
We had it. It was very brief.
Probably like this, Brandon. I was right.
No, we didn't. No, I was going to ask that question. We just never did.
He
must have told you.
No, I knew.
He brought it up.
We talked about it afterwards. He called me, he's like, hey, I've got a potential opportunity, just like we were talking about.
So this is a different deal.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about this one. Then.
Oh, wait,
you and I talked about. Yes, okay. I did talk to you about that
one.
But talk about it, because it's important, because we've been talking a lot about affiliate owners do well, they have a box, and it's like, cool, there's potential out there.
To open up another one.
Yeah, I need to buy a second one.
Well, it wouldn't be buying. It would be actually a startup that.
No, let's go back to the one that you and I.
That one.
You brought that one to me, and I was just like, hey, I mean, listen, I don't think I'm going to change my answer, but tell me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And most people are like, well, hey, I've got a thing. And I'm like, I'm probably going to tell you no, but give me all the information.
Yeah, which was great.
And that one ended up, you know, we talked about it. I gave you like a series of questions, and I was like, hey, kind of pitch it this way, and it ended up being like a raw deal.
Yeah, everything about it was going to end up, I was like, yeah, that's bad. Which is the beauty is, and being in Affiliate U and with you guys, that's the beauty. It's like, hey, let me run this by them, see what their thoughts are. Because now you're getting a different viewpoint. And because, you're like, oh, yeah, man, great opportunity, I'm in. And then you realize, I just jumped into a sinking ship.
Everybody who says potential, now you should change that, be like, this is potentially devastating, what I'm about
fire.
To
say. Yeah. Exactly. Well, because things are going really well, and there's this feeling of, well, I need more, rather than I can just make this thing better.
That's correct. And I think, too, geographically, that was just a bad setup, right?
I remember it being kind of far.
Yeah, it's on the north side of Dallas, right?
So probably like 40 minutes?
Yes, it's a solid drive. Yeah. And I've always said, I don't want to do anything that pulls me away from here. This is home, and that like really pulls me away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we talked about that. And I was, just like we did here, we had to change the culture. You know, I love that. Instead of community culture, because that's really what it came down to, is making that shift of the culture within this gym. It was cliquish, and it had its moments. Like,
how long did that take?
Oh, man. I think that I don't know, probably it's a good year for sure.
That's what I tell everybody. Like, I'm like, it's turning a ship. At least 12 months
before
you walk in. Like, this is mine. These people are mine. This vibe is mine. Yeah. Like, these clients are mine. This whole thing is, like, what I envision. But it's like, It's a real slow.
It is.
What were some of the big immediate action items you wanted to change?
The ambassador program I think helps that largely, because people, it's that feeling like we were talking about earlier about like going to BJJ. It's like, ooh, now I get what people feel like walking into a CrossFit, because I never felt that way. I've come in, I'm like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. It's fitness. The doing BJJ like intimidates and scares me a bit. So I'm intimidated walking in there, even though it's probably a great welcoming place.
Right.
And people say that, they're like, oh, I'm so intimidated. And when you can take that from them and they can go, oh, I'm home. I'm good. I'm in a good place. And so by being super welcoming, and that's our rule here, you see an unfamiliar face, you get over to them and introduce yourselves immediately. And as the members saw us doing that,
they do it too.
They start to do it too. And you've got your few members that do it anyways, and kind of letting them lead the way, you know. It's really changed that community and
this
culture.
This happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I was literally talking to a member, and mid-sentence, she just turns away from me and walks away. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
right? And she went over. There was a random person standing in the door. She grabbed them and then brought them to another coach and then came back and started talking to
me. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, well, I feel like a turd now. It's kind of my job. But I didn't see it. But she kind of knew the rule and was just like, I mean, like she didn't even break stride. Like we were literally mid-sentence. She just walked away. I was like, what is happening right now? And then I was like, oh, never mind. I was like, I think I did something right, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I did well. And I think that matters. And I even, you know, we get people complimenting. They're like, man, the gym's doing awesome. Y'all are doing an amazing job. I always really do try to kick it back to them because I believe this, that our culture and our community has created that growth because people do come in the door and they feel welcome. And they're like, okay, this thing isn't that big, scary animal that I thought it was. And so they are going to have that tendency to stay and really dive in. And we're seeing that more and more because the culture has changed. And people are welcoming. We introduce them before class. We make sure everyone.
Yeah.
And you'll see the members, hey, I'm so-and-so. And they, even if it's a drop-in, anybody, we don't want anybody to feel unwelcome or not a part of it. Because I've talked to members that were like, first time I come here, nobody spoke to me. And I'm like, God, that's worst, terrible.
That'd be a great test for an affiliate that thinks they have great community. Well, bring a stranger in. And see what happens.
Just let them stand there.
You or staff can't talk to them.
Yeah.
See what happens.
No, I would agree. See what your community does. And because I think a lot of CrossFit's like, well, we get together. Yeah, but your small little group and clique is getting together.
Yeah, you don't realize you're in the clique.
That's right. Yeah, you don't.
It's awesome here. And I'm like, you're in the circle, man. Yeah, exactly. Of course it's awesome.
The other 90 people are.
And that's one of the things we as coaches, like when we've got our Christmas party coming up, And from the get-go when we started doing this, you know, one of the things I told him, I'm like, hey, guys, we have this tendency to us to kind of hang out together because this is where we're comfortable. I'm like, get out and mingle. Like, don't be sitting right next to each other. Like, sit at different tables. Mingle with the members so they feel welcome.
We talk about that at, like,
seminars.
Hey, listen, it's easy to sit around and talk to your buddies.
That's right.
But, like, that's not your job here. Like, you need to get out, go talk to the participants, like, go talk to the members. And that was one thing that we changed 2 years ago, maybe. Well, anyway, we basically, because when we were running our holiday party, the way it was set up, like we were serving the drinks, and so like we couldn't really interact with everybody. So then we basically outsourced all of it. So we got bartender, like we got food truck, we got all the things. So now all the staff can just go out and participate.
Yeah,
as just a person attending rather than being a server. It also sucks to be in that scenario, kind of like to be at this party but you're working. You know, so it's almost, all right, we got to change that.
Yeah, it's almost like going to your own wedding. You got to get around and talk to everybody.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, it's going to be a busy night. Get around and talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you see somebody sitting off, go sit with them. Like, make them feel welcome so that they want to come to the. And we're seeing. I think we've got pretty close to 70 already RSVP'd for December. So, you know, that's up
like
from last year.
Yeah,
so super excited about that. That just really kind of tells us that the culture and the community is getting better and better. And again, I think once you can get that, then it starts to rise up.
Yeah.
But it takes some time to do that.
Yeah, what's your growth kind of trajectory? Because it's been pretty strong.
It has. So last year, our first full year, we grew 39. So we hit our 36. We're down from that just a hair this year. But we're going to still be right around that 30 to 36 this year. So we've continued to grow just as we expect, right?
Right.
And so we've...
But meaning in 2 years, you've grown by 60 people.
Yeah.
That's
for sure. Yeah, when we took over.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like anybody like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know?
So when we took over, we were right at about 85 members when we bought it. And now we're 150 to 160.
Well, I don't remember what the first target was that we set. I don't remember what it was.
I think it was 100.
I think it was like 100. Yeah, it was like 125, 135.
So looking at this space, it's big, it's narrow. Any challenges with that many members?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this setup, the rectangular setup is...
It's like not a shotgun if you guys can't, like, just straight through.
It's not as ideal as I would like it. I think a square is a little better setup. And like we were talking about earlier as far as doing your progressions and your setups, and you can make it work.
I went full blackout mode.
No, it was great, though. No, I'm sure they loved
it. Lost those two.
We're like, not sure what he said. Yeah.
Oh, he's talking about parallelograms and shit.
He goes, it's a...
Squircles.
He was like, it's a square, but it's basically a circle. I was like, I don't think he understands geometry.
I meant to say equilateral triangle.
I get it.
Exactly.
I got it.
So I would say that's especially as a coach, trying to make it. It's 120 feet long, so you're trying to say,
it's
work.
It's a little bit longer than 100, but yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, so, you can maybe fit two people per section.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
do you cap classes here?
We don't.
Yeah. So what's a large class?
Good.
Yeah.
What was in that last? What was in that last class that was just
like
here?
16.
Yeah, it was like it was a decent size.
But our 5:30 a.m. this week we had 21, so we're around 20 in those classes. I think we're getting pretty close. I think at 24 is that's tight.
It's a lot,
but we'll do on Saturdays. We've had up to 35 in here on a Saturday. But again, on those we'll partner teams of three. That way, it's not
you're making
congested.
The appropriate accommodations to not cap classes.
That's right.
It's important.
It's what we're trying to do
because. You've got six classes a day?
Six, yep. Except for Fridays, we run five.
So six a day, 150 members. Yeah, all of them are well attended.
They are.
Point.
Yeah.
Do you know what's your use Wattify, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you get the dashboard?
Mm-hmm.
Dashboard. What's your percentage?
70.
Dang, that's killer! Killer. 70% average play active time.
Yeah.
So what we look at is. Average a percentage of active client attendance on a it's by week, right? Mm-hmm. But on an average per day, 40 is as low as 40. You have problems. That percentage will drop as you grow more and more and more. Obviously,
yeah, I get that.
But 70 is fantastic. 70 is
fit.
That's why I asked you that.
70 is fit. Yeah, yeah. I would tell you like even if you were like in that 150 range, I'd be like 60 would be killer. You know, but 70 is
crushing.
When
you crunch those numbers, I mean that's 100. Plus people coming in your door every day.
Right, yeah. Which is fantastic, right? Which is the reason we made that. It's a real good leading indicator for future success or problems when you look
at
the number.
Really good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Which is what I love about that dashboard because it does give you that. Because when you start looking at and you're doing your reach outs and you're like, man, I got a bunch of people we hadn't seen. But then when you can see that, you go, but I got a lot of people showing up. And until I saw that, that's why I asked you, I'm like, hey, what's a good number? You're like 40. I'm like, ooh, we're at 70. I'm like, jamming.
I wouldn't necessarily say 40 is good.
Or,
like 40 is just like
number,
that's the spectrum, right? So like when you start moving in that 40 range, it's just like,
problems.
Hey, what's going on? Like I need to apply some context here. Does that include, you know, like for us, ours is higher, but like it includes like the weightlifters in there who don't check in for class. Ours looks lower, but it's probably north of like high 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like closer to 60 if I take those guys out. But that's context. I look at that. And if you were a gym under like 100, I'd want to see for sure closer to 60-70% of people showing up on a daily basis. But yeah.
Yeah. No, and I was super excited to see that, especially once you said that. I was like,
that's
okay,
great.
Good, man. Awesome.
So with such a high attendance daily, what are some of the other things you do to make sure the class experience stays at the highest level?
Yeah, so we follow CAPS programming, and Jen's she's in charge of that. And one of the things she looks at is like, hey, how's it going to flow for us, right? We know the limitations of equipment. We have 10 bikes, 12 rowers, so you're going to have some limitations. But that's one of the things, that's where that lesson plan comes in, and we talk a lot about that. And that's what tell the coaches. It's like, hey, that's why we do these lesson plans, and we need to be prepared for, hey, you can go from one class that's 20 people to three, you know, and the next one, depending on the time of day, you know. And so are you prepared for that to happen and still create a great workout, a great experience so that it flows well? And so to me, I think it goes back to that being prepared for the class and the lesson planning of that to create that.
How often do you find yourself changing some of those workouts, do you know? Or is that Jen?
Jen, she
– How often do you – not often,
no.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So if you guys didn't hear that, she's talking about like if it's just a monostructural workout where they're limited, we only have 10 of these, then it might have to change. But outside of that, she's figuring out all the normal ways, stagger start, you know, like how do I do a waterfall start? Like how do we, you know?
Well, basics.
Well, and one thing I took from you that I liked that he disagreed with, but I liked it. I was
we
like,
never disagreed.
Yeah, right. But you had said, you know, maybe when we talk about communication, what we do is now on Thursday nights, we jump on a 15-minute Zoom call with the coaches, and we go through the programming. And so one of the things come up is next week, it's a rowing workout. And it was, you're going to have more people than rowers in the way it's set up. So we just, as a group chat, hey, let's move it around this way. Mm-hmm. Let's partner it up, make it fit. And that's kind of that nice saying, we can all jump on, and we keep it like I'm.
What'd you not like about that?
I don't remember. It's probably that it was just like a Thursday night. I didn't. Yeah, it wasn't the meeting because like I do a programming meeting every week too.
Yeah.
But it was probably just like the Thursday night.
Yeah, it wasn't.
He was just trying to find something.
Yeah. I was like, Ackerman?
It's all good. I got a Christmas light business. I'm trying to start Colorado.
But I thought it was a great idea. Instead of, I used to send out an email to the coaches, but I thought we could get a lot more talked about and
get ideas.
Exactly. So, and there's been a few of them that ended up actually being a long conversation, but it was good because a lot of good came out of that. We had an opportunity. Yeah. It was unplanned, and somebody was like, hey, I've got this. And I was like, cool, we're on here. We can chat about it. Let's talk about it because, you know, us three are here together often, but we've got three other coaches that have other jobs.
Need to get plugged in.
And that's right. And so this is just another way to try to help them plug into us and know, you know, kind of what the plan is and give some input as well.
And I'll say, like, on that, that's one of those meetings where there's no bad ideas.
No, absolutely
It's like
not.
You don't want to shoot someone down because they'll never – give you another, and I would that's even right. run with one that I'm like, I think this isn't going to work, but cool, let's do that one just to make them feel good and show them like, hey, we'll try anything if you, you know, back it with.
Right. And we just actually had that happen. And so one of the things we had done, and right or wrong, we took the weights away from the
board. RX.
There was just all no RX. Weights. There was just no weights because we were really focused on getting people to chase that stimulus, not the weights.
The RX is the stimulus.
David Osorio does that.
Yeah.
And you do it for a month.
So we did
We're doing it in December.
We did it for over a year. And it was working well. It was like, hey, guys, check the ego. Let's work on the stimulus. You're going to get to click RX if you hit the stimulus that we've talked about. And I thought that was it went really well. But one of our coaches, she really – had a lot of questions about it, didn't understand why, and so that led into a very long and extensive conversation between us all, and so we chatted more and more about it, and I was really trying to understand why she was so passionate about having them there, you know, and for her it was giving people something to chase, and I definitely see her point of view, so we opted actually to put it back in.
Well, that shows you as a leader too being open-minded.
Yeah, for sure.
To listen to someone, because I think a lot of affiliate owners would be like, no, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also highlights that, like, again, we talk, there's not a ton of absolutes.
Right.
There's no right or wrong. And there's validity to both. There's validity to not having it up there, and there's a ton of validity to having it up there. And I think it's more about, like, what is the team, what is the cultural understanding of why we're doing it, what do we emphasize when we talk about those things.
Right.
And then how it's delivered.
That's correct.
Delivery, you know, matters more than anything.
That's correct.
Right? And this is where I don't like to give this dude a ton of credit, but like, he's like, he does. But like, delivery matters. We always joke, like, Jay can say anything to anybody, but and afterwards they'll be confused and offended, but not in the moment. Yeah. You know?
Later at night when they're like,
wait a minute.
They pulled out.
Wait a minute.
They jump up in bed. And I also think, you kind of alluded to, like, there's no absolutes, also meaning it doesn't have to be all or none.
That's correct.
Like, hey, cool. And not even Tuesdays, but this workout, 95 and 65 are RX.
Right.
Tomorrow it's back to, you know, one of the things we get is like, hey, classes are packed. When should I add more? I was like, let's try Tuesday, Thursdays one day. Yeah, like, why do we have to jump to 5 days a week? Right. Just start small for affiliate owners lose their mind of like,
well, experiment and measure, right? And it's not, so anytime people want to add classes, I'm like, hey, doesn't have to be permanent. Like, when you make this decision, it doesn't mean it's forever.
Yeah, and as long as you put it out there.
Correct. Yeah. So you tell everybody like, hey, let's start putting the weights back up on the board and just generally see what the feedback is like. Does anybody say anything? Is there any discussion about it? Do we find that people hit the stimulus more or less, or are they making worse decisions?
Tell us about that. What have you noticed?
Well, we've only done it a couple weeks,
so it's very recent.
Yeah, this just happened within the last month.
Well, let me go back a step. What did this coach say to finally convince you?
Nothing really. I think it was the conversation we just had. We doubled back to it, and in the next meeting, I just asked her, like, how does that change your coaching? How does that help you to coach better? And for her, it was –
that's a great question, by the way.
Yeah. And for her, she wanted to just both parties to have the same information, right? Because we were telling – like, we know it's 135.
That's true. That's a really good point. Like, I know the answer.
That's right.
I want you to.
That's right.
And then the members are probably like, what's RX?
They would. They would. And we saw that. And I'm like, hey, don't tell them. Because they're wanting. They're like, hey, you know.
But
hey,
at some point, it also is. If they've been doing it long enough, it's obvious.
And that's what's
like 95,
her point.
155, right, 185.
She knew that they were picking
it's never 175.
That's right.
Or 160.
Yeah, it's never these.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's very
it's not some random
DT's
number.
DT's 155 randomly.
That's right.
But it's usually.
And we were leaving them in for any of the benchmarks, right? Because
that's
we want to continue to mark those, right? So, again, we had done a workout the week before that also helped. I was like, you know what? That I see her point because – I think it was running and snatch, and the RX weight was 155. And
no one's hitting that
nobody.
Stimulus.
The only guy who would have been is Paul, and he's built like a
because that stimulus
bull.
Is – it's heavy. It's it was moderate,
heavy.
Right? But,
yeah.
So you're not meant to go unbroken.
That's correct. And the way everybody –
depending on how many reps.
That's right. It was not meant to be, right? It was
I remember
meant
seeing
to be,
that cap workout.
Yeah, that's right. But most people were coming way down to like 95,
and
they were
and go.
Yeah, and we had told them like, "Hey guys, that this is meant to be a moderately heavy. You should not be going 12 unbroken. You probably shouldn't be doing 6 unbroken unless you
maybe
are,
set one
right exactly." Yeah. And they were, and so that we missed that stimulus as a gym that day. Like I think it was supposed to be 15 minutes. Most people were done at like 8. Like we missed it big time, right? And so that's what I told him. I'm like, you know, here's an example of the opposite where we as a gym missed it that day.
Yeah.
And we need to learn from that. And maybe this is a way where we – that kind of – I was like, okay, I can see that side of it. And so we as a group decided to put it back in because I do want our coaches to know that, like, you do have input. You do – I just want to hear reasoning, you know. And I think we learned that from the last summit. It was like, hey, ask the right questions. Continue to ask questions.
Yeah, that actually sounds like what you did there, which is
great.
By the way, talking about the mastermind, the summit.
The summit's this weekend.
You're at the Denver one, and you're coming to Nashville?
Absolutely.
And everyone's got these major issues. Not major, but some were deeper than others.
Yeah.
Brandon's like, you know...
got it pretty good.
Tuesday mornings, I'm trying to get a few more hours. And I was like, this is your problem.
I know, yeah.
And I was like, cool. Did you wind up getting coverage at that time?
No, we never solved that problem. But unfortunately, after you hear everybody else's.
Well, you were very early.
I was
that was
early.
The first group. You were like the second person.
Yeah, I didn't really ask my question and what I was after. Because of course, I'd love to give the mornings up, but. It's not the end of the world that I do them. I'm on the floor 8 to 12 hours a week. It's not.
That's a really nice.
How many?
It's not uncomfortable.
How many classes a month do you guys run? Do you know?
Well, we were on 30 a week.
30 a week. So you run 120.
On the month,
call it 100 or 120.
So you're on
130, and then you're covering 30 of.
Well, no, 8 to 12 a week. So it's probably 30%.
Yeah, so I'm – yeah.
Yeah.
A little higher than we'd
would
want
be where I'd
right,
want
yeah, and that's – we're – I'm actually facing a – I'm getting a coach.
Paul's she's taking notes over there. What are you writing down,
right.
Paul?
He's like 15%.
Did I say something? Good. It's about the Thursday meetings again?
Right. So we and then we're trying to bring on – we need to add some coaches, honestly, just to have them ready to go because we've got five of us that are –
makes me uneasy. Five is slim.
It is. Yeah. It really is. But then
for
again,
that many classes, especially.
Right?
Correct.
But I look at it and I think, I just
for
it's
where
not hard.
You're
I don't
at,
feel like I'm in an
for where you're spot. At. That's probably like if you were to did you do an assessment on Brandon recently?
No, not yet.
Yep. So you'll get that soon.
Okay,
that's probably what you'll see. Right, the team.
The team, and then looking at that overall class load, which is like, hey, how do we pull that down? The difference there is not that you. It has nothing to do with whether you want to coach them or not.
Right.
It has to do everything with, like, do you have to coach them?
Right.
Now, if you want to coach 30, that's great, or whatever that is for throughout the month, or you know, call it 32. Yeah, so if you're coaching 32 throughout the month, so you're what, at like 20? No, you might be like, right, if you're coaching 130 classes a month,
that's
you might
25%,
be right. So you're in there, but we'd want to see a little bit lower because at 15%, what we find is that if it's above 50%, you tend to be there's a bottleneck there. Mm-hmm. And then like fulfillment hinges on you quite heavily.
Yeah.
And then again, you're really close to being back at 40.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All one coach
40
down.
Or 50 yeah, back sure. a month. And you're like, okay, now
I've
you're
seen that happen.
Yeah. I've seen it happen. It's because I wasn't backfilling, but, so that's why we were like, hey, we want to see 15 or less. And then we want to see like, you don't have to do any of them and you just coach only the ones you want. Yeah. Right, coach, yeah, hey, you know,
for sure.
That's what I'm going to try to do next year is coach like one class a week just because I want to.
Yeah. And that's been as an owner, one of my struggle points. It's like, how do you detach, but you stay attached, right? Because, you know, I love coming in, seeing the members, and then you think, man, you know, or if I'm like right now, they're like, where have you been? You know?
Yeah.
So that still grabs you to stay there while you know it's like, hey, I do need to kind of come off the floor.
It's interesting because you're kind of doing an experiment of that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Exactly. So you're showing yourself it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like every winter you do it.
Yeah, yeah, it is possible. And I can easily get it down to six, really, because, I mean.
But let me take a step back to go on to Christmas lights for a second? Yeah. Why don't you hire someone to put the lights up?
Nobody wants to work like I do. And
This is the problem. None of the coaches are good enough. No,
my coaches are amazing.
That's a pretty heavy. I mean, we're hanging labor.
That's
job,
right.
Though.
Yeah. People don't want to hang Christmas. Yeah.
Can I talk numbers on it for a second?
Sure.
What's the average house cost?
Probably $300.
Oh, you're not charging enough is the issue. That's like $1,000 in Boulder. Dude, well, I looked into it when Ross wanted it. I was like,
yeah, but you live in a McMansion,
like my kids this much. Like they don't. Madison will not remember this. When she's six, we'll hire someone. And by the way, do they do them in Hanukkah colors? Exactly. Do you Hanukkah colors?
Hey, whatever you need, bro.
So you got the blue and white ones?
That's it. Hey, you pick the colors.
So you're not charging. But okay, you charge $300. You don't think someone would do that for $100 for an hour?
Yeah, but do you trust them being on a roof of a house and not falling off of it?
You need insurance. You have insurance?
Sure. Yeah,
have insurance.
I do. Yeah. But
here's the thing. We're starting CLU, Christmas Light University. If you're going to be our first client.
The biggest issue is it's seasonal, right? So you've got to find somebody that can only do it for a month.
Here's the problem. I just solved your problem.
You did.
You got to do lights year-round.
I know.
Halloween.
That would be, yeah.
Well, you do it once.
That's right.
You change the colors. Like, you got to figure out so they're.
I have one that I do that way.
You get the Halloween. You got Easter.
Fourth of July. Valentine's Day.
Fourth of July. Yeah, exactly. Red and white and blue. Day. Green exactly. for St. Patrick. Dude, we just shut this gym down.
Close
and
it up.
Let's do Christmas Light University.
Hey, I wish. I wish.
Meanwhile, someone's stealing that right
That's
now.
That's right. They're like,
edit that out,
idea.
Nate. Take that out. That's my idea. Exactly. I don't want Fern having 33%.
That's right.
Marcus gets none of it. That's ours.
That's your
ours.
Idea.
The goal there is so the challenge there is like you have to execute some discipline when you start to remove yourself. Because I was literally just talking to somebody about this today. They're like, man, it would go a long way if you came back in here and got on the floor. And I'm like, it would. I would also forfeit so much, mm-hmm. right? So it would go a long way in here. So it's been a real struggle for me, quite frankly, too, because I love coaching, man. And I want to go back on the floor, but I have to craft the exact scenario when I go back on the floor, it's only pluses for everybody. It's a plus for me. It's a plus for everybody else.
That's your stakeholders, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's and, not
but
for
if
you.
I do it right now, I was like, we have so many things that like we're building and trying to get organized. And I'm like, I'm going to be stressed going on the floor for call it 4 or 5 hours a month. And I'm like, I'm not doing it, dude. I don't care how much people want it. When I go back on the floor, it's just going to be because I'm like, yo, I literally can't wait to go back and coach that class.
Well, and by the way, whoever this member is, you can probably solve a lot of that just by like poking your head in for 5 minutes. Like they're not saying I need you to, they are, but what they really want is like, hey, I just want to chat with you more.
Right.
Right.
Which
like,
I do
cool,
that anyway.
I can
like always like,
mayor.
I have the staff makes fun of me. They're like, you like pop out of the office and you like sprint around the gym for a little bit and then you just go lock yourself
and
back in.
What,
and I'm like,
but that's
intentional
you'll
though.
You'll be doing.
And I do that from time to time and they don't like it a lot because I kind of stir them up. I get them stirred up.
You do.
Talk
it's,
a lot
like
of trash,
it's like an
and
uncle.
Walk back
you're like, get the kids here some sugar.
Yeah. And Jen's like, get out of here.
Yeah, dude,
like, no,
I'm
but,
fucking late
but
now.
We're having fun.
But
yeah,
that's,
this is fun.
You're like condensing an hour of presence and attitude
Correct.
Into 5 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's ultimately the goal. And we're going to. I'm going to continue to work.
All right, so that's
that.
Our
yeah,
challenge.
It's
2024.
Yeah, 15. It's a big problem that I have.
15 what?
Percent or less.
Oh, no, but I mean, yeah. For sure.
Sorry,
and I was
get
thinking, like, we need
first.
Two additional qualified coaches on the floor here.
Yep. And I've got one that she's finishing up the kids' class, and I told her, we're getting you on the floor. And then I'm going to reach out to one, or I've actually talked to her. I just got to set up the meeting with her. She actually owns a gym in South Carolina still. Her and her husband just moved down here and joined us, so we'll see.
What was the other opportunity that you didn't want to tell me about?
No, I did. We just didn't get to talk to it. It was about opening up another.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Another Heath?
Another affiliate, yeah.
Like Heath 2? Yeah,
like Heath 2.
We spoke just on a, I think, one call.
You and I spoke, and he was like, yeah, I talked to Fern on that. And I was like, yeah.
Well, because I always.
It's like I went and talked to Mom. I got to go talk to Dad now.
We have another client, Allie, who's like in the middle of, and I'm like, I will talk to you about this again if Fern gives you his blessing.
Right, yeah.
And so then I saw her on my calendar. I was like, oh, Fern said it was cool. She's like, no. And I was like, why are we talking?
Then why are we here?
And she's like, you guys are like two angels.
Yeah.
Because I am like more, I'm going to say optimistic isn't the right word, but like, let's
do it.
See what
let's
it's
be
like.
Fine. What's the worst that could happen? Yeah. I'm like, everything could fall apart.
Right. Exactly.
Your whole life could be ruined.
And I'm like, not all the way at the extreme. Right. Let's run to it. But I'm more open to it than he is.
Right.
But he's right. Like, nine times out of ten, it does not work.
Okay.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work, more importantly, because it doesn't make sense when we actually start to map it out. I'm like, who's doing what? And they're like, well, just have somebody else run. And I'm like, you're saying that phrase like
we have 10 people.
Like, you're overflowing with people, and you found, like, the exact right person, and there's tons of cash flow to pay this person. I'm like, I understand the concept that you just laid out there, but, like, that is not available to you. I was like, and more importantly, it always happens in the exact same spot, right when the affiliate owner gets to, like,
it's right now.
It's right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're rolling. They're like, I'm living the good life. You know, like, let me go mess it up.
And if he went back and listened to this, he'd be like, oh, I'm still coaching 25% of the classes.
Right.
Like, this does, like, from an unbiased perspective, you're like, oh, that makes no sense.
Right. Which is the beauty of this group. Like, because when we've just said this, I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm trying to get more coaches in here. How do I go put them in another one?
Maybe in 2 years from now, because Fern's right. There's the potential, especially for affiliate owners, will present itself, and it will be better.
It will just show up your door, and it'll be like, this is the, like, and you'll be like, that makes 100% sense, and it checks every box that I would want it to, meaning, like, financially it makes sense. I have the time, I have the desire, have the team in place. I have a proven systems over here that I can just literally, like, copy paste, and this will be significantly easier the second time. Sure. But it's typically not that way. There's typically things that are still not, like, you don't expand stores in a franchise until one of them just hums. You're like, oh, I can print this over and over and over and over and over.
Right, it's literally just replicating.
Yeah,
no, it's that makes a lot of sense.
And I'm not opposed to multiple facilities. I think what happens is people hugely underestimate, like, how far they are away from that.
Right.
From that point,
for sure.
You were talking about, like, you know, you love being here, and I'm like, that's a huge deal, because I tell you what, you're not going to do a lot of, if you open a second facility, be here.
Yeah.
Because
you got to go be there.
Right. You got to go be there.
And also just quality of, like, I assume you have a firefighter pension. Mm-hmm. You got this other business, which is about to boom with my ideas. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
It's like affiliate owners are notorious for, like, oh, life is, like, so smooth and comfortable.
Jacking it up.
How can I jack this up? And I'm like, or use this as your opportunity in life to do what you love and have some extracurricular activities, like,
well,
train jiu-jitsu.
If you just, like, did the math on it, and you're like, hey, I'm going to open this other facility, I'm like, how much would you want it to increase your income or whatever?
Right, and what's that number really going to do for you?
And you're like, 20%. I'm like, just do 20% here.
Yeah.
You're far more likely to do another 20% here and everything be easier if you just did it here.
And you're not taking on more.
You're not taking on more. But it actually helps you prove a point, right? It's just like, hey, if you can't flex that muscle to do 20% here, you have no business going and starting up a whole different one.
It's your clients. Like, oh, you can't make the top 25% that it is now this year? Right. You don't need more. You need to get better.
Yeah, you need to get better.
Come back in a year and let's crack that 25%.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is too much. Do we all agree?
Yes.
I don't.
It's a lot.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
it
we're not going to leave that to Andrew Hiller to talk about.
But yeah, that's a lot of people fall into that trap. And I'm like, the other thing is, I'm like, are you having fun right now? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, you know what's not fun? Starting from fucking scratch.
Starting all over.
I was like, you know that? I'm going to pull up our recording of our first call everywhere where you're like, pulling your hair out. I'm like, you want to be that person again? Because that is what is going to happen to you.
For sure.
Particularly if you haven't gotten everything completely dialed. I do think there's a time and a place, and I actually don't think we're that far away where we're going to see a decent amount of affiliate owners own multiple facilities.
But taking over established businesses that are...
Because they have the right, they have the right amount of time, they have the bandwidth, they know how to build teams, they know how to run this really, really well. Then I'm like, listen, go take over the world. Like, I don't care. But what we don't need is more mediocre affiliates.
Right.
That's not what anybody needs. Like, we need more really, really high horsepower affiliates that are, you know, having 200-300 members impacting a lot of lives. And I'm like, then do it again.
Right.
If you can do that, you've proven a lot of things. You know.
Hey, before we wrap up, give me your...
Where are you going with that? Why are you looking oddly into my eyes?
Yeah. I got Cody behind me, behind you, telling me to wrap
Cody's
it up.
Cody's freaking out over
we
here.
We do have to get to a social... giving the signal.
Right.
Yo. Cuckoo,
look over here.
Give me your favorite best member story, most impactful story of a member here at CrossFit Heath.
Oh, man. Most impactful. We have a member named Mandy. We call her Mandy P. I would probably say she. Matter of fact, y'all saw her earlier.
Oh,
she
really?
Was in here in the 8:30. To see her transfer, and actually, she's on the board as one of our ambassadors up there in the top right.
Oh yeah, I saw. Okay. Oh, she was right here.
Yeah, looking
that's
all jacked.
That girl?
That's her.
She has like blue hair.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, that chick is fit.
I walked in and
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
okay,
yeah. I was
okay.
like, oh, that girl's stronger
yeah,
than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's immediately, that's the first thought I saw. I was like,
she is stronger.
I almost just turned around. I was like, that girl with green hair
she
is stronger than me.
And Mandy.
That doesn't
is,
even look like the same person.
No, it really doesn't. And so that's in about a year and a half. And
oh, wow.
So, yeah. She, to see her transformation has been unbelievable. But I think, you know, those stand out for me, but the one thing I always say, and y'all saw them, that's I call that my geriatric crew. That was
oh, yeah.
That,
that's right. I heard that's them over group. Talking. Yeah. They was talking about doing Chad tomorrow.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The one guy was like, no, I'm not
exactly,
doing Chad.
Exactly. But those guys, and they're all in their 60s and close
that's
to
awesome.
70, and they show up at our 8:30 every day. And I just
that's
love
my retirement. I can't wait.
I love to be coaching there. Them. I love seeing them. I love the impact that that is because when I was a firefighter paramedic, we were reactive to bad things. Mm. We can be proactive to it. We can help them stay out of those situations through CrossFit.
Those are the people you were saving.
That's
right.
That's right. And now they're getting more healthy the older they get, which is phenomenal.
Well, you're so just like, I'm not going to get a call for those guys that
exactly.
they've fallen down and I got to
right.
go pick them back
and,
up.
And I've seen that live. I've seen people that literally have laid on the floor for 24 hours trying to get help till they could finally crawl to a phone or somebody comes by and checks on them. They've been laying there for 24 hours because they couldn't physically get back up. And I know those folks won't be doing that. And so that's that impact that I think drives us each day to see that. Like, it's great you come in, you're 25 and in shape. Yeah, you and everybody else, good job. You know, but talk to me when you're 65 and you're showing up and you're getting better and you see them getting better and you see them improving. And then, like, we were just talking about Quinn the other day. I think Quinn's almost 70 now. And she actually worked with my wife as a nurse and just retired. And now she's starting to try to throw weight on, and I'm like, calm down, Quinn, it's okay. Like, and she's like, let's go. I'm like, and so it's awesome. That's to see those things is really what just gets you showing back.
Well,
up.
Put that in perspective for affiliate owners. So many of them are like, we can't charge more. We can't do this. Like,
can.
I mean, you've seen both ends of the mm-hmm. spectrum. You go to pick someone up on their floor as mm-hmm. a firefighter or a paramedic. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, how much money would that person give to not be in that position?
Right.
Everything they own.
Yep.
Literally take everything of mine just to be able to get off the floor.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And that's what you're doing with these people for and the
for,
fact that
for minimal for, compared to,
right,
to what it would
right.
cost that ambulance alone.
or I'm sure you've thought that you should I'm sure you thought this many times is if you show up to that scenario and you're like, I can help you.
That's right.
I have the solution that you need.
That's right.
And all you got to do is show up.
That's it. That's all you got to do. Now, CrossFit, cool. and it's the secret sauce.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, dude, this has been fun. I'm super glad we made the trip. Jay didn't want to make the trip.
I was like, he's very resistant.
I got to go early. He fought me for 20 minutes. I was like, hey, we're leaving 7:50. Naturally, he showed up 7:52. I was like, fucking turd.
We had a big dinner last night.
Yeah. Don't talk about it.
Right this morning.
But he was just like, can we, how about 8? And I was like, 7:50, dude. I'm not budging. 7:50. He got me off 7:45, and I was like, I'll give you 5 minutes. And then he was still stole another two.
In fairness, Cody was later than me.
For sure. Yeah, Cody was 5 minutes late. So,
well, I am stoked y'all came out. I really am. I've been telling them all about it, and they're like, oh, gosh, these guys.
I wish we can get to every one of our affiliates because it's so much more insightful for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get a lot of videos, like, show us around to show up, and also the fact that we saw what was going down.
Yeah,
like, that was a big, cool part. That was really cool to see, like, because we talk a lot. Like, some we have clients that they're doing all the work, but they're not, like, moving up the way we want, and then you show up, and you're like, oh, that.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening on the floor? Mm-hmm. We came in, like, it was under control. She's yelling out, like, nonstop cues. Like, it was great, and it's awesome to get to see that.
Yeah.
And you gave us a T-shirt.
Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which we appreciate. Yeah. That's
like a
with Texas on it.
That's it. That's
and
it.
A coffee. Look, if I were going to show up to every Philly and they had coffee and a T-shirt for me, I might leave my house more often.
I doubt it. But, dude, we need more affiliate owners like you. Keep doing what you're doing. Awesome. I appreciate it. And it's really cool to see this because, like, even though I've seen the pictures, I'm like, so much better in person. Like, this is a cool spot. So if you guys are in this area, stop by. It's a phenomenal-looking gym. And then might be moving to a new location. Maybe we'll see. Anyway,
check out the Best Hour dashboard.
Yep, Best Hour dashboard, Wattify, and coming to Push Press soon. So for anybody
that's tonight.
Jay won't be at that one. It's a little past his bedtime.
That is too late.
That's too late.
But tell me about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll fill him in, and then he just his eyes will glaze over, and he won't care. But
accurate.
As always, guys. Thank you guys for watching. We know you guys don't have to. For those of you who are listening, we appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.